Now, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22 as we bring the message this afternoon from Matthew chapter 22. Now, we're not going to keep you too long because we recognize the fact that they're not services, and we want you to keep in mind now what I've tried to get over on your heart today. I wish we could hear about this just in a little bit of time, where we could see an old fashioned camp meeting established up in this section of the country. Now, if God lays it on somebody's heart, why, you tell the pastor here, tell some of these preachers here, they're interested in it, and I know it. And you tell them, or write me a letter, praise God, we'll get going somehow. If God lays on your heart, you'd like to give a good offering, or tell these preachers, give it to them that they might get a piece of property to build the camp meeting grounds off. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, begin reading in verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now, if you look this afternoon here in God's Word in the 42nd chapter, notice, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, this is a long, important question. I think it is a lot of important questions that's asked throughout the Word of God. For instance, Job asked the question, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And I'm glad that the Bible gives an answer to this all-important question. Why, neighbor, I'll tell you, the Bible points out that every soul that walks the face of this earth, neighbor, is going to live somewhere. You'll either live in heaven or you'll live in hell. I've heard people talk about getting cast into hell and dying in hell. No, you don't die in hell. You come up to the point of dying, but you'll never die in hell. I'll tell you, friends, you'll live forever. And forever in the pit of the damned, where the devil, the demons, and the false prophets are, where all sin and all sinners are going to be forever and forever. I'll tell you, the Word of God points out this. And with the same token to that man and to that woman that's born into the family of God, I'll tell you, he's going to live with the Lord forever and forever. Job said, "Though the worms destroy this flesh," he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm going to see him in the latter days." I just don't. Job really had a hard time, friend, when the preachers came around, the ministerial assassination, and began to give him a hard time. Well, I guess that really got him down in the dumps, don't you imagine? I guess it was tough on that young preacher boy. Threw in his pieces. But I guess the roughest part of it was when Job's wife walked in and threw the dish pile down and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Why, neighbor, listen, I put up with all the preachers to give me a fit, and I tell you, I go down this country and I feel about, hey, back then somebody's not cussing me out. Yes, sir. That don't bother me. But if I had to go to the house and had a nagging wife, a brother to give me a hard time when I got to the house, I guess that'd be about the worst thing of all, don't you imagine? Yes, sir. Brother, I've been in places, preachers, wives, give them a fit. I remember one time down yonder in Tennessee, I better not tell the place, Brother Cody's recording this. I'm not getting dust by calling somebody's name. But anyway, I tell you, friends, down yonder one time in Tennessee, this preacher had me for a meeting. He just lived 2 doors from me. And so, you know, he said, "I want you to come run a revival." I said, "Okay." Well, on Saturday, I had to go take my wife down somewhere. And I said to him, "Would you like to go along?" He said, "Sure." So we went along. We've gone all day. We didn't get back till about 15 minutes to 6. And we'd always have to leave the house about 6:30 to get over to the church. And when we got back, the yard was filled with automobiles. And, man, I thought his mother-in-law died. She lived across the road. And I thought, boy, something bad's taking place. And when we drove up, that man's wife, that preacher's wife, ran to the door. She had her hands on her hips like an Irish wash woman. And she said to me, she said, "You're a pretty-looking thing." I said, "Thank you, ma'am." Yes. Well, I said, you friend, listen. Jesus. Brother, you talk about chewing a fella out there. She chewed me out. You know what? He is one of these fellas. He fed the hogs, you know, at 4:30. He milked the old cow at 4:45. He got the eggs at 5. He ate supper at 5:15 and was on a schedule like that. I'm not that tight. I get there when I get there and I leave when I leave. That's just about all they put. And so I got ready to go, and the reason all the cars were there, she called in her kids, her grandchildren, and all the highway patrol. I reckon they figured the highway patrol didn't have sense enough to notify them if we got killed, you know. And so they was really upset. I started off and the kid said, come on in. Said, Mama's got supper ready. Oh, I said, I'll just go down and fix Smith's sandwich and get ready to go. Oh, come on, said Mama's got supper. I went in. We gave thanks for the food, and here's that woman. I can see her now. She's over at the sink of washing those dishes, and brother, chewing me out. Yes, I took all of that I could take. I'm that kind, you know. I just took all I could take. I pushed back from the table and I said, good sister, I'd like you to know I'm mad at 21. I go when I want to, and I come back when I want to. And I said, if you want to tell that henpecked husband of yours what to do, help yourself, but keep your slaps and limp off of me. Amen. Now, I tell you, I guess old Job really had a fit, neighbor, when his wife walked in and said, why don't you curse God and die? But I want to tell you, praise God, I can imagine old Job jumped in the ring about that time of slew-foot. Over in the corner set the devil, in the other corner set old Job. And when the bell rung out, they came around and around and around they went. All you could see was the devil, Job, and dust. That's all. And after a while, there was a big thud, and bless God, slew-foot hit the floor, and Job hopped upon the rail and begin to call, I know my redeemer is up, and I'm going to see him in the latter day. Praise God. I want to tell you, friends, listen, an all-important question. If a man die, shall he live again? Then I turn to the precious word of God. I read how that they ask Christ important questions. Is it, should a man give benevolence to Caesar or to God? And Jesus said, you give to God the things that belong to God, and you give the things to Christ that belong to him. I read about him important questions like there that Philippian jailer asked the question and said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But neighbor, with all the important questions that's asked throughout the word of God, I believe here is one of the most important. Here's a direct question. Here's an imperative question. Here's a personal question. Here's a question, my friends, that comes exploding in the face of every person. On what do you think of Jesus Christ? It explodes like a devastating bomb. On what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you're going to give an answer. You may not come up here and take my hand and say, preacher, I love him with all of my heart. And you may not jump up and say, I don't care a thing about him. You may not do that. But in your heart, before you leave this building today, you're going to say, I either love him or I want nothing whatsoever to do with it. You're going to give an all-important answer. Now, as you turn to this precious word of God, there's a lot of folks that had an opinion of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19, if you'd like to look at it, the Bible said, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Now notice this fact. John the Baptist, he was a man that fasted and prayed. John the Baptist was not a gluttonous man. He wasn't an eating man. But I'll tell you, they didn't like John, huh? Then all of a sudden on the scene set Jesus. And Jesus was a man that ate with publicans and sinners. And they said he was a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. Think about it. Why, that dirty crowd was a calling the fast of 10,000 a wine bibber and a glutton. This crowd was calling the rose, the sun, the bright and the morning star a gluttonous man. Neighbor, I tell you, they're talking about the precious Lamb of God. They're talking about the one that Daniel said is the stone that hewed out of the mountains without hands. And Ezekiel said he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel and the horse that pulls in the valley. They were talking about Zechariah's branch. They were talking about the lovely Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. This crowd said he's a gluttonous man and he's a wine bibber. Think about it. Well, there's another crowd. You'll find, neighbor, down in the next verses it says, There was another group that said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Glory to God, they hit the nail on the head. I'm glad he is a friend of publicans and a friend of sinners. I read through the word of God, I see an old leper out yonder. His old body is eaten up with that terrible disease. But when Jesus got through with him, hallelujah, there wasn't a spot on him. I read about two fellas sitting beside the road, and they were blind, and they cried out as Jesus passed by and said, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And the Bible said Jesus opened their eyes. I want to tell you, friend, I see a dumb boy that couldn't talk, and maybe he couldn't even hear. But when Jesus got through with him, praise God, he could talk, and neighbor, his ears are open, his eyes are open. Neighbor, this is what Christ does. He's a friend of publicans, and he's a friend of sinners. I read through the precious word of God about a fella that had palsy. His old body's shaking. He can't control himself. When Jesus got through with him, hallelujah, he could have taken the smallest needle you ever seen and afraid in that thing. That's what Jesus does. Yes, sir. I tell you, friend, he's a friend of publicans and a friend of sinners. I turn to the precious word of God, and there's others that have thoughts of him. I read in Matthew 12, 22 and 24, they said that he was demon-possessed, that he did these things in the power of Beelzebub. You know, you start doing something for God, mark it down. Every one of these old long-nosed critics want to criticize everything you're doing. You know that? Huh? I knew we're forgetting, I got saved. And they said, "Okay, they'll be back in the pool hall in 30 days. I went back in 3, handing out tracts. Glory to God. Listen, neighbor, I want to tell you right now, Jesus is a friend of publicans, and he's a friend of sinners. You start doing works for God, they'll say you're demon-possessed. And it's strange how I fell and get out here and go to all the hell holes and run at every crook in the country and be as crooked and low down as you can think of, and he's everybody's buddy, and then here's a guy gets born again, gets his name put in the Lamb's Book of Life, quits running with all the crooks and going to the hell holes, and then the next thing they say is a crackpot. Well, I'd rather be a crackpot for God and one for the devil any time, wouldn't you? It's all right to be a crackpot because a light comes in at the crack. Amen. It's all right to be a nut you screwed down to the right bowl. I'll tell you that right now. Neighbor, listen, this crowd said Jesus was a gluttonous man. They said he was a wine bibber. They said he was a friend of publicans and a friend of sinners, and then they said he was doing this in the power of Beelzebub. Then notice another crowd in Mark 3 and 21. The Bible said here's a group of people, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Who was it? His friends. Now, brother, you're going to have trouble with your friends when you get born again, huh? When you start doing the miracles of God and working on the power of God, things are going to happen. And your friends will even say, he's nuts. That word beside means he's got bats in the belfry. Got some loose screws upstairs. Gone loco. Brother, listen, gone off at the deep end. That's what that word beside means. Who was it said this? His friends said it. I never will forget one time when I first got saved, I began to witness to my own people, and they said, "Why, you've gone fanatical. You're religious crazy." And they thought I'd gone off at the deep end. Well, neighbor, I'll tell you, I quit drinking and I quit all my carousing and went to living for God, and they said us crazy. Now, they said Jesus is crazy. Wonder what made them think he is crazy. You ever thought about that? It might have been that son on the street corner. Jesus began to preach and say, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he comes by me." They said, "You're crazy." About that time, Jesus said, "I'm the bread." They said, "You're nuts, you're nothing but flesh and bone like we are. You're not bread." I can hear Jesus say, "I'm the door." Said, "You're not. He ain't got no hinges on you. What's the matter? You're crazy. You done lost your mind." Now, wait a minute. This crowd hadn't heard this gospel like you and I've heard it, and our grandfathers heard it, and our great-grandfathers had heard it. They've never heard a man say, "I'm the door. I'm the bread." They never heard that. They said, "He's crazy." I hear Jesus say, "I'm the resurrection." They said, "You've never even been dead. What in the world you mean you're the resurrection?" I can hear Christ say, "I'm the shepherd." Said, "You're crazy. You ain't even got any sheep. What in the world are you talking about being a shepherd?" I can hear Jesus say, "I'm the light of the world." They said, "You don't shine." I hear Jesus say, "I'm the vine." Said, "You're crazy, man. You done gone crazy." I can hear him say, "I'm with you always." I hear one smart aleck say, "I taught you. I heard you say the other day you're going to go and prepare a place for us. Now, how in the world are you going to go and be here always?" Then it's been
know Jesus, huh? I'll tell you.
Well, I read through the Word of God. I can hear him say, I'm the bright and the morning star. They said, you're not a star. You're crazy. That's what's wrong with you. I hear Jesus say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Boy, that broke their back. Yes, sir. When he said that, he said, I'm the beginning and the ending. And if they could see what he really said, it'd have killed them, I guess. He not only said, I'm the beginning and the ending, but I covered all in between. Praise God. I want to tell you, friends, this crowd said that Jesus Christ was crazy. All right. Now let's look at another. Let's get some witnesses out and see what they think of Jesus Christ. If I could this afternoon, I'd take the witness stand, and I'd bring folks here to testify. I'd like to walk right down my friends through the middle of hell, and I'd like to bring a fellow up here and get him to testify. Neighbor, this is Pontius Pilate. He's been in hell for about 2,000 years now. Pontius Pilate, would you tell this crowd this afternoon what you think about Jesus Christ? I believe old Pontius Pilate would say the same thing that's recorded in the Word of God. I believe he'd say, I find no fault in him at all. Amen. I'd take him back to hell. I'd get another character. I'd bring this fellow up here, and his name's Judas Iscariot. Judas, I've got a lot more respect for you than I have a lot of Christian people, so-called. One thing about old Judas, he sold out a lot higher than some Christian people do. Do you believe that? That's right. I tell you one thing about him, bless God, he didn't have a degrading job. I want to tell you one thing about him. He didn't degrade the Lord's day. You can mark that down. Why, these people have desecrated God's day. They'd rather go out here to some old factory and work and make a few dollars and bring shame upon God's blessed word and their testimony. Am I telling it right? I certainly am, friend. Somebody say, well, I've got a lot of youngins and I got a big family and I got to keep them up. Praise God, I'd get on the creek banks and drink bank water and eat 10 toes 3 times a day, fat, back and sow belly, bless God, and love God. Didn't eat caviar and hummingbird wings and live from the devil. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you, friends, old Judas, I've got a lot more respect for Judas. Would you tell this crowd what you think of Jesus Christ? I mean, it say the same thing that's recorded in the Bible. And I betrayed innocent blood. I couldn't stop at that. I'd bring a centurion up here. Maybe it's the centurion that drove the nails in his hands. Maybe it's the one that won the scarlet robe that went on his body. Who knows? Centurion, take the stand. Tell this crowd what you think of Jesus Christ. I believe that old centurion would say, truly, this was the Son of God. I'd take him back to hell, and then I'd get an old, dirty, nasty, stinking, filthy demon. Are you listening? Wake up now. I'd bring that old demon up here, and I'll tell you, best God, I'd set him down. I'd say, would you tell this crowd what you think of Jesus Christ? Don't you like to get something on the devil, huh? It's always my nature to get something on my two sisters. And my grandma would say, I'm going to the garden now. You all stay out of the cookies. And yes, all right, Mama, we won't get them. Honest, Mama, you know, we really won't. But she'd take off out the door. She wouldn't more get gone. I'd take off that cookie jar. And about the time I rounded the door, tip-tocked there, my sister done beat me there. And I'd say, I'm going to tell on you. And brother, when she got some candy, I'd say, give me a piece of that candy. I'm not going to, I'm going to tell on you. And she'd fork it over. I was the oldest child, and I was the chief bottle washer and mixer, you know, and we'd save up our nickels and dimes in the summer, and we had a team of horses. My grandpa had a team of horses, and we'd go to town about twice in the summer, and Papa would go out there, and I'd ride on the back of that old wagon, you know, and we'd save up our nickels and dimes, and I'd open that grocery store, and I'd open up that bull there on the back of the sack, and I had a strain on it, you know. I'd open that up and pull that money out, and I'd look that clerk straight in the eye, and I'd say, give it to me all in strawberry Kool-Aid. I'll tell you, that clerk would get out a big old paper sack, fill it up with strawberry Kool-Aid. I'd go back to the house, I'd borrow one of my grandma's 8-pound lard buckets, and I'd borrow some sugar that I think I really forgot to pay back. I'd go down to the bottom of a hill to the spring house. I'd get that bucket full of water, good old mountain spring water, just about knock your teeth out of your head. I'd pull that Kool-Aid in. I'd pull the sugar. There's a wild cherry tree there. I'd get me a limb, and I'd start stirring that Kool-Aid, and my oldest sister'd say, I'm first. I'd say, you better shut up. I'll tell on you. My baby sister'd say, you old bully, you are. I'd say, shut up. I'll tell on you, too. I sure am. I'm watching all the time. See, that sugar says it's all, you know. And then a little bit, I tell you, it's gone. And I just sold a stick away and scooped my head right down in that bucket and go to drink it. And then, brother, they didn't care what I told. They just about drowned me in that coolant. Now, I want to tell you, I like to get something on the devil, don't you, huh? You know what I got on the devil? Bless God, Jesus took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Hallelujah to God, declared I'm he that was dead and then alive forevermore. And I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Listen, I get this demon on the stand, and I say to the demon, would you tell us what you said in the Bible about Jesus? I read that demon and say, that's right, the Son of God. I couldn't stop her that. I want to change my direction. I'd get that demon back into hell, and then I'd look toward glory. I hate to break up that meeting going on, but look, I've got to get some witnesses. I'd say, hey, come here, buddy. I want you to testify. Would you take the witness stand and tell us what you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a Baptist preacher. I know he's a Baptist because the Bible said his name was John the Baptist. And I'd say, Brother John, would you take the witness stand? Would you tell this crowd what you think of Jesus? I'd be that old backwoods, broken, country-style preacher. His eyes would get to burning like firebrands. I believe it's frost at the mouth. Lord of God, grab that queen and hear him for cut them out. And inside, behold, the love of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. I couldn't stop that. I get him back to glory. Beloved John, John, would you tell us what you think of Jesus? I believe that man of God is saying, my friends, the same thing he said in the precious old Bible. He'd say, my friends, he's the bright and the morning star. I couldn't stop of that. I'd get old Brother Peter down here. Now, Peter, would you tell this what flesh and blood did not reveal to you? I believe it say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'd dismiss him. I'd get the first modernist, old Thomas. He doubted the resurrection. Thomas, would you testify and tell this crowd what you think of Jesus? I believe it. Say, my Lord and my God. Amen. I'd love to get old Paul down here. Paul, tell us what you think of Jesus. I believe he'd say, I tell all things lost of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'd dismiss him, but wait a minute. I'm too close to glory to stop now. Gabriel, bring that angelic choir down once again and let them sing that heavenly notes and that heavenly chorus to our ears. I believe that choir began to sing unto you, born of Savior, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Man, I'm too close to glory to stop here. I'd like to get my father to testify what he thinks about Jesus. I believe the clouds to go back. I believe the fish had stopped their swimming. The birds had stopped their flying. I believe neighbor the beasts had stopped their runnings in the fields. And God the Father cried and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I couldn't stop glory to God. Listen, friend, I'd like to throw in a word myself. He's my Savior. Praise God, Redeemer. I've been born again by the grace of God. I want to tell you, friend, he's worth everything to my soul. I tell you, words fail a person when you begin to talk about this blessed Lamb of God. Oh, friend, I tell you, these people had great opinions of him. Hell knows he's the Son of God. And heaven knows he's the Son of God. Yes, sir. Well, you say, preacher, that's all wonderful. Well, I want to ask you, what do you think about him? Well, you said, boy, I tell you, I love him like Paul. You do? Some folks never have time for him. They got time for beaches, mountains, lodge halls. They got time for all kinds of recreational programs. They never have time for God. They never go to church except at Easter and Christmas. Let the church get a little old handful of candy, break your jaw if you're to it. And a few apples and oranges and a tangerine or two and hand it out. Every old grandpa and grandma in the country will come out to get a handout, huh? Come on. I'm going to teach you all something while I'm up here. Bless God, if you can't say amen, shake your head at me. I tell you right now, friend, listen. The only time you ever see them is at Easter time. You know, on Easter morning, you can't tell whether you're in a chicken house or a church house. There's so many feathers poked up. Amen. Here they come. They haven't been to church since last year. Got a lot of buzzard Christians. You know what a buzzard is? You know what a buzzard is? The only time you ever see a buzzard is when something's dead or a stinks up. And that's a lot of buzzard Christians. You let a saint get up, here they come. They smell it for 40 miles, honey. They've come afloat, and they ain't been to church in the last 10 years. But, boy, they smell a saint. Am I telling it right? And you let somebody die, they'll go to a funeral. Here they come. They know they smell a funeral. They smell a saint. You're fixing to get rid of a deacon or run a preacher off? Yes. Here they come. They can fly in, honey. Bunch of old buzzard Christians. You know something? I said, well, you would be my pastor. Oh, you got it backwards. You would be my member, bless God.
Hey, man, I didn't cost you nothing.
I remember you two and I, pastor, I kept about 40 crated up, and I paid the freight on them and come out and took them. I was going down the road one day, and I heard about one of my Sunday school teachers. I've done heard about it. But I'm always a fellow that I want to see it. And if I heard about too much, I'd go looking for it. But I was coming down the road, and I saw her, y'all, and she come. I noticed that she didn't like nothing I said. She didn't like my mannerism. She didn't like my antics. She said I jumped too high and preached too long, preached too loud, and all that. And I saw her coming. She just is dilly-dallying down the road in a pair of short shorts. And here I come down this old country road, and I in my automobile, and I guess the dust is a-balling so bad behind that car, she didn't recognize who I was till I got pretty close. And when I got up pretty close, she stopped in her tracks and she saw that car. She threw both hands up like that. She looked that way, and they wasn't but one way to go, and that's down through a cornfield. And the corn stuck her just about right there, and I could see her head bobbing up and down the black corn. She'd have run it down through that field, and you'd just see the top of her head bobbling up and down. You know, a lot of preachers, I guess I'm natured maybe the wrong way, but a lot of them looked straight ahead and drove off. That just ain't my nature. I pulled up to that road, she was running down, I stopped that old car and I got out and I said, yeah, I got that corn to you, she was going to take it off. I said it right now, bless God, listen. There's a lot of folks don't have much opinion of Jesus Christ. They love God on Sunday morning. We Baptists are not like the Catholics. Little Sunday morning mass. Only the trouble then, it's usually a mess. Amen. Some little I goose you, you goose me. Preacher talks a salty sound like got a bunion on his tongue. And he gets up, you know, and talks about the latest novel and the latest movie and dismisses the crowd. Listen, honey. Follow the time you ever fall in love with God, you'll be in God's house. Amen. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. God said, neighbor, people have got time for the church. They ain't got time for God. Bowling alleys and skate. We're going pleasure crazy. That's one of the symptoms of the last day. Bowl game crazy. Ping pong ball crazy. Skate rink crazy. We're raising God robbers in this country. That's right. Come on, look at me. Bless God. You let the young'un take off. The average family lets the young'un go down to the bowling alley and they'll stick a $2 bill in his pocket. Get ready to go to the church and reach and get a penny, a nickel, and a dime. Give God the leftovers. It ain't costing you nothing. You done paid. Tell you right now, but this all up and down this country, we're raising God robbers. What do you think? I'm fixing to crank up and put your hide on. You read through the blessed word of God. God said that he has to run his business on tithes and offerings. You show me a God robbing hobo that sits on the church pew, don't give his tithes and offerings to God, and I'll show you a bird. His tithes and offerings to God, and I'll show you a bird God will take his gizzard out just about for it's over with. Amen! I tell you, friend, God said, I'm going to give you an apple tree. You just stick in the ground, and yeah, you can't make it grow, and you can't make it die. You couldn't. I read one place where one burned, it didn't, wasn't consumed. I believe you take gasoline for one, you couldn't kill it. God didn't want to die, just grow up a storm on gasoline. I believe that. God said, you stick in the ground, I'm going to give you four seasons. I'll send the winter to kill the bugs, I'll send the spring to blossom out, send the summer to fruit grow, and in the fall you go out there and pick it. And God said, every time you get 10 apples, I want one. You get 20, I want two. You get 30, I want three. You get 40, I want four. You get five, I want 50, I want five. Man, that sounds to me like a deal. I ain't a Jew. I'm a red-headed, freckle-faced, pug-nosed Irishman. But if that's not a bargain, I never heard of a bargain. And God said, on top of all that, I will give you my rain, and I will give you my sunshine.
Man, and just think, every time you get 10 apples, you just have to give God one. That's all. Well, this fella gets his feet, he sticks it in the ground, he just smiles and talks about it, and that wonderful tree, and the next thing you know, the winter starts, and the bugs are killed, the spring comes, it blossoms out, the summer comes, and the fruit grows, and then it comes fall time, apple picking time. He gets his basket, but he goes out. And he starts picking. He gets one, he gets two, he gets three, he gets four, he gets five, he gets six, he gets seven, he gets eight, he gets nine, and then something starts coming over him. And he looks up that way, nobody's looking, and are you listening? And he looks up that way, and then brother, and they say, oh, he reaches up and gets that tenth one. And when he gets back to the house, instead of having 45 apples and giving God five, he's got 50. And then the next thing, he's done got his wife, and they're going up to Sears and Ryback, and she's got her new nice seat freezer, and the stove and God to buy it all. And next thing you know, he's grinning like a Denny Mule, got brand new false teeth, stove and God to buy them with. Hey, come on now, look up here. And the next thing you know, he's got him a new set of bifocals, and he stole from God to buy them with. And the next thing, he's got him a nice automobile, a big Cadillac. He'll drive up in front of the church and go in, and when the offering plate goes by, he'll flip a quarter in and ride off singing, Jesus paid it all. Am I telling it right? Yes, sir. He stole from God. That's what's wrong with him. And then I want to tell you, my brother, he's blazing away, and he's pushing up in the banks, and the church can be going down and suffering, and they won't stand by the church. I want to tell you, what do you think of Jesus this afternoon? You read through the blessed word of God, the Bible said of early Christians, they sold their houses and their lands, and they bought their possessions and laid at their papa's feet, and the solution was made under those that were in need, and it said no man thought of the things that were his as in his own. Is that what the book
said? Well, we've got a long way from early day Christianity. You mark that down. Now let's go before somebody gets mad. No time to read God's blessed word. Got time for Dick Tracy and Test True Heart and all of that. No time. No time to go to church. I remember one time when I was pastoring, and I did pastor once. No, I pastored three times once. You know one good thing about getting run off from a church? You don't have to pray about leaving. You know that? This fella called up and he said, woman called and said, come over here. And I went over. Here's a fella, his ankles are swelled up. And I said, what in the world's wrong? I said, I'm sick. I said, where you go to church? Well, I remember where you belong. Or where you preach. I said, where you been? I said, been sick all for a year. I've been here a year. I said, you been sick all that time? Well, no. He said, well, I fell out with other preachers over there. I said, I like to fox hunt. And said, the boy said, I don't see nothing better to tell little jokes and cuss a little bit, take a little drink. And well, he just went on. He said, I'd like that other preacher. I already thought I was going to sympathize with him, you know. And he talked on and drank. And he said, oh, pray for me. I said, look, he stuck his old hand out, never joined on him, was swelled that big. He poked his old knee out from under the cover, and it looked that big, brother, all swelled up. And he said, oh, won't you pray so big, brother? I said, all right, we'll pray. Oh, God, if you like to kill this old bastard to get him right, kill him! Somebody said, well, I want to pray that way. Well, it's me, I'm praying, it wasn't you. Well, they cussed me for fairly well, run now. But I'll tell you one thing right now. Some of this crowd feels like hell. And they expect the preacher to come in and pray a nice little prayer for God to get them well. I've been got particular about who I pray God gets well, honey. I'm not going to go down here to some of these hospitals and some of these God robbers been a stealing on God and won't honor God. And God put them up in that hospital. I'm not going down and pray against God. God's the one put some of them in there.
Amen.
You say what you want to. I believe that. As sure as I'm a stand here, God's making believers out of some of them. You believe that?
Amen.
He certainly is, honey. I'll tell you right now, listen. What do you think of Jesus? I turn through the word of God. Folks don't have time for God. No respect for the Lord. We've torn down our standards in this country. God have mercy upon us. Summertime sticks to come around and people let their daughters and their wives run up and down the road. Hey, naked. I'll tell you, friends, that's an abomination, the sign of God. We have no standards in this country. It's crowded up in Hollywood. That buck of prostitutes and whoremongers play their own television sets in your front room. I'll tell you, why don't you buy a rattlesnake to go with that thing? That's a dessert, amen? I want to tell you, I've torn down in this
this country, friend, needs some old preachers that's got to take a stand for God and preach against sin. Don't you believe that? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Well, let's see what the Word says. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 10:38 and 39, the way he listened, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
Then Jesus went on to say, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What did he say? If any man will come after, let him deny himself. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. That's the flesh.
Well, I've seen folks got mad at me, and I'd like to took that calf head and the plastic in between my eyeballs. That's what I would have liked to have done, huh? But you see, I had to deny myself. Suppose I'd have done, I'd have took that fist and popped in between my eyes. Well, it'd have ruined my ministry, you see. There's a lot of things that a person likes to do. I was walking down the street one time in the state of Florida in a big city. Long way from home, nobody knew me. I saw an old saloon keeper down yonder, down ahead of me, and he's sprinkling the street with wine, whiskey, beer, something. Must have been beer. And by the time I got there, I smelled all that stuff. The devil said, you're a long way from home. He said, nobody knows you. And then he said, one wouldn't hurt anybody. Now, ain't that the devil? I want to tell you something. I don't care what the devil tells you. If he tells you the truth, it's a lie. The Bible said anything Sweetfoot tells you is a lie. The Bible said he's a father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. That was the book says. I tell you, when I would have time to go into that hell hole, I marched on by. Trump swelled up in me and said, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen. Glory to God. Trump said, in all of your ways, temptations, and all your temptations, God said, I'll make a way of escape. Now, who's the way? Jesus is the way. Amen. And not only that, but Jesus is the door. So if it's a way of escape, it must be a door somewhere. Amen. And I will tell you, I don't care how little the corner the devil backs you up in, he'll never get you in the corner. So little, bless God, God can get out the saw and hammer and put a door in it. Hallelujah. Now, you never see the house with a door in the corner. You just don't build a thing like that, do you? Huh? Any carpenters in the house? You don't build doors in corners. I'll tell you, I've seen some of these catty-cornered looking things, but brother, they had to build the office contraption you ever seen to get any kind of a window into the corner, you see. But I want to tell you, God said any corner you get backed up in, it don't make any difference how little or how big. God said, I'll make a way of escape. Hallelujah. I'll be brought to stick a door in any corner like that when you see what I'm in. I believe that. You've got to deny yourself. Friend, there's a lot of things that a person has to deny himself. If I listen, the old Indian that got saved, he said he came and he said to the preacher, said to him, how do you feel? He said, I feel like there's two dogs inside of me fighting. Well, the preacher said, which one's the winning? He said, the one I feed. Now, you sit around, you feed that old carnal man, that old natural man, you're going to grow carnally, man. If you sit around and feed that new man, you grow spiritually. Now, if you always one of these carnal-minded times, you'd rather go and see all the ball games are going on, and you know about all the baseball players and all of that. Well, what are you doing? You're feeding that old carnal man, you see. But then, bless God, you take a person that hides their head in the blessed old Word of God and spreads its old book. And the Bible said, hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against him. You'll grow spiritually. Amen.
You take the average person, you say, do you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They think you're talking about a clothing company somewhere. That's right. I want to tell you, friend, listen. Praise God, you study this old book. It'll help you in the time of trouble. Yes, it will. You listen. In death and sorrow, praise God, first it'll spring up in your soul. And God said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to tell you that's covered in this book. We've got to deny ourselves in these last days and stand.
plan for God. I want to give you one story. I'm going to close. I would to God we could get churches so on fire for God. We'd see things are popping and cracking all over this country. That old boy used to go to church with his daddy. And every Sunday, when they'd start, his daddy'd say, I wish you could have gone to church where your dad used to go. Man, we had the awfulest time. I tell you, we had the best time in the world. Why, well, I said, oh, Sister Lula, get to playing that old pump organ. And said, Uncle Ben would lead the singing. And, oh, said he had a voice like a lion. And then the preacher would put, I wish you could have gone where your dad. And every Sunday, he'd start that. And then little boy, he'd ask questions and go on. And finally, one day, you know, Dad got the boy in the car one Sunday afternoon. They took off out through the country. And the boy said, where are you going? Son, I'm going to take you. I'm going to show you where your dad used to go to church. They drove and drove, and after a while, they pulled up an old churchyard. Weeds is up to your knees. The window lights is knocked out. Didn't look like anybody'd been there a minute of a day. The steps were rotted down. The dad got out, and he was all puzzled to him. And my little boy said, well, you didn't go to church here, did you? Yeah. I used to go, but I don't understand what's happened. They got into the vestibule. They looked. The birds had roosted in the building. The songbooks were tall and ruined looking. Dust everywhere. The building had leaked, and the water dripped in. The floor was rotten. The old fellow started down the aisle, and that little fellow's up giggling. Said, why, you didn't go to church here, did you, Daddy? Yes, son, but I don't understand. And the little fellow just kept on, and directly he looked up. He saw the tears running down his old dad's face. And he said, sure enough, Daddy, did you really go to church here? Yes, son, but I don't understand what's happened. The dad went up to the pulpit, and there was the old pulpit Bible that was ruined. The pages were yellow where the rain had leaked in and ruined it. And he said, well, I don't understand. He said, there used to be so on fire for God here. I don't understand. He started down the aisle, and when he got back to the vestibule, he looked up. There hung an old piece of a rope. And he said to his boy as he casually reached up with his hand and took hold of the rope, I used to ring the bell when I was a little boy about your size. I used to ring the bell every Sunday morning. And when he said that, he kindly pulled that old rope and he expected it to break. It'd be rotten. But it didn't break. And when he pulled it, high in that old church steeple, the old clapper hit the side of that bell. It said, dong! And when he done that, it done something to it. He reached up with that other hand and said, yeah, boy. Yeah! This is where your old dad used to go to church! And he pulled along his knot. And that old clapper went to striking the side of that bell. Dong! Ding! Dong! It was ringing out! Suddenly, people all over the area was hearing the old church bell. They said, listen, listen. The old church bells are ringing. Maybe the church is on fire. Maybe somebody's dead. Let's go. It wasn't but just a few minutes till the churchyard was filled. Automobiles were rushing in. People leaped out of their cars and ran towards the church. And there that man was, wet in his own sweat and perspiration. And I heard, they used to shout this place. They used to sing the songs of God. They used to preach the word of God. I want to tell you, neighbor, listen. We need to reach out and take hold of the rope of peace and ring the bells of heaven. Praise God, now people all over this country rush to the house of God and say, Grandma used to shout and Grandpa used to have a shout and praise God, we're going to get in on it.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, take the message. Use it for thy glory, dear God. Help us to fall in love with Jesus like we never have. I believe, Father, we're in the closing out age. I believe the coming of our Savior's at hand. I believe the night's drawn nigh when no man can work. I believe like a thief in the night, Jesus is coming to snatch the bride away. Praise God, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm glad we've come at the head of that table, which is about 1,500 to 1,600 miles long. In his rightful place, Jesus, you're going to be sitting there. And around that table is going to be all the blood-washed crowd. God, we wouldn't miss it for nothing. Oh, Lord, help us to labor, to work, and get somebody else in. And Father, somebody here today needs to come to God. Help them to come on in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you need to get right with God, come on, Father, sing, would you? If you're lost, you're backslidden, cold and different in heart, you're not a soul winner, you're not a prayer warrior, whatever you need to do today, come on, Father, sing it.